day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Colbún's Earnings Results Conference Call hosted by Sebastián Moraga. My name is Kathy, and I'm your event manager today. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties that this conference is being recorded for replay purposes. Now I'd like to hand over to Sebastián. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Colbún's 2014 first quarter conference call. My name is Sebastián Moraga. I am the CFO of the company, and joining me today are our Chief Strategy Officer, Olivia Hertz, and our Head of Investor Relations, Miguel Alarcón. Hopefully, you have received our first quarter press release and our results review presentation that we have prepared for the first time to complement the analysis of this quarter. As you can see on slide two, we will start this call with the relevant highlights of the quarter to then proceed to analyze financial results for the first three months of 2014. After that, I will give you an update of our investment projects to finalize with latest relevant events. Following the presentation, there will be time to participate in a Q&A session. It is important to mention that questions will be accepted in either English or Spanish. Please go to slide number three to review some highlights of this quarter. First, EBITDA for the first quarter of 2014 reached $119.8 million, which represents a 34% increase compared to $89.2 million for the first three months of 2013. This variation is mainly explained by a non-recurring effect of the business interruption compensation from our insurance companies for the machinery failure that affected Nehuenco II in March 2013. Second, hydro generation increased 5% as compared to first quarter of last year, reaching 1,109 GWh. This increase is mainly due to the generation of 116 GWh from the Angostura project during its testing period in advance of its commercial operation. Third, Angostura hydroelectric plant was commissioned in April. During the first month of 2014, this power plant has shown a stable generation during its testing stage. Fourth, the Blanco hydroelectric plant, a 60-MW plant, experienced a machinery failure in January. The failure caused damages to the turbine generator equipment and some ancillary equipment, which has kept the plant out of operation. The cause of the failure and date when the plant will come on stream are being determined. As a result of a preliminary estimate of the physical damage and according to accounting standards, we registered a loss of $7 million under non-operating losses resulting from asset impairment. Finally, financial investments reached $208 million at the end of this quarter, down from $237 million registered in the first quarter of last year. Net debt closed at $1,432 million, in line with a net debt of $1,451 million in the first quarter of last year. On slide four, you can find relevant facts about our Angostura hydroelectric power plant. This power plant has three generation units that add up to 316 MW of installed capacity, and its annual generation is estimated in 1,500 GWh under average hydrological conditions. Unit 1 of 135 MW and Unit 3 of 46 MW were incorporated to the CEDEC, the centralized dispatch center of the central grid, for commercial operation on April 1st, while Unit 2 of 135 MW was incorporated to the CEDEC for commercial operation on the 25th of the same month. In parallel, the company has fulfilled the plan to reallocate 46 families and to provide the community with infrastructure works, among which we may note camping facilities, public beaches, a natural trail, and a lookout, which will enhance the tourism development of the sector, in addition to several social projects. Angostura is the largest hydroelectric power plant built in Chile over the last decade, and its installed capacity is equivalent to the peak demand of Valparaíso, or to 70% of the power demand of Concepción, two very important cities in Chile. With the completion of Angostura, the company has incorporated more than 900 megawatts of efficient capacity to the system since 2006, with an investment exceeding $2 billion. Now, I will turn to Olivia Hertz for the more detailed analysis of the first quarter financial figures. After that revision, I will talk more about our investment projects and relevant events.
Thank you, Sebastián, and hello, everyone. So let's continue to slide 6 of the presentation for a review of financial figures on this quarter, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis. Energy sales volume to customers under power purchase agreements during the quarter reached 3,000 gigawatt-hour. That is 17% higher than contracted energy sales recorded during the same period of the previous year, and 5% lower than the previous quarter, for Q13. The increase as compared to the first quarter of previous year is due mainly to the new long-term contract signed with Codelco that started in March 2013, and to a lower extent to an additional short-term supply with the same free customer that started in May 2013. In the first quarter of this year, Colbún recorded net sales in the spot market of 219 gigawatt-hour. That amount incorporates the energy generated by our Angostura power plant during its testing stage. Power generation in the first quarter was characterized by low hydro generation due to lower water flows, which is typical for this time of the year, added to the effect of 4 years of droughts in a row and significant gas generation due to access of LNG supply that allowed us operating our two combined cycles units through the whole quarter. As we already mentioned in the highlight section, hydroelectric generation during the quarter increased slightly, 5% as compared to the same quarter of previous year, and decreased 23% as compared to previous quarter, reaching 1,109 gigawatt-hour. The increase as compared to the first quarter is mainly due, as we mentioned, to the generation of Angostura during its testing period, which was slightly offset by the unavailability mentioned by Sebastián of our Blanco power plant. Regarding gas-fired generation, it increased 9% as compared to the same quarter of previous year, and 74% as compared to the last quarter of previous year, due mainly to greater access to LNG for the two combined cycle units of Nehuenco during the period, thanks to the two contracts in force with ENAP and Metrogas. Our diesel fire generation increased by 68 gigawatt-hour as compared to the first quarter of previous year, and 88 gigawatt-hour as compared to the fourth quarter of 2013, due to the lower availability of hydro generation and to lower availability of baseload power plants in the system during the quarter, which resulted in some of our diesel fire units to be dispatched. Coal fire generation during the quarter was 706 gigawatt-hour, which is 4% lower than previous quarter than the first quarter of last year, and 19% higher than previous quarter. The increase as compared to the first quarter of 2013 is due mainly to the fact that this unit was out of operation some days during this quarter due to minor corrective maintenance works. So, in summary, the generation mix of the quarter allowed 60% of the company's commercial commitments to be supplied with efficient capacity of hydro and coal, versus 69% covered by efficient capacity during the first quarter of 2013, and 64% for the fourth quarter of 2013. The other commitments were mostly met with natural gas generation. Unlike the fourth quarter of 2013, during this quarter, Colbún had no need to resort to energy purchases on the spot market to meet its commercial contracts, given that high marginal costs during the quarter made it more economical to supply those contracts with our own generation. Now please continue to slide 7 to analyze the EBITDA for the quarter. Revenues amounted to 413 million, up by 13% and by 18% as compared to first quarter 13 and fourth quarter 13, respectively. This revenue increase can be explained by two main drivers. First, a non-recurring income of 32 million resulting from the business interruption compensation relating to the machinery failure at the Nehuenco 2 plant. Second, the contribution of almost 17 million from the operation of the Angostura project during its testing periods. Both effects were registered in the other operating income line. Raw materials and consumables used in the first quarter totaled 275 million, up by 7% as compared to the first quarter and by 24% as compared to the fourth quarter of last year. The main reasons behind this increase in raw materials and consumables used are first, higher diesel generation, which meant 14 million, equivalent to 68 gigawatt hour additional generation in the quarter compared to the first quarter 13, which was offset by lower coal fire generation expenses of $4 million. The second reason for this increase of raw materials was the higher transmission toll by $8 million, due mainly to greater transmission toll expenses in the trunk system, in the transmission system, and to a less extent to toll expenses reassessments. So in summary, EBITDA for the quarter reached 120 million, which positively compares to the almost 90 million in the first quarter 13 and to 107 million of the fourth quarter 13. If we eliminate the non-recurring income from the insurance compensation for Nehuenco 2, the EBITDA for the quarter was in line compared to the first quarter of last year. Continuing with the presentation, let's go to slide number 8, please, to analyze the non-recurring income for this quarter. Non-operating income for the quarter recorded a loss of 6.6 million, lower than the loss of almost 30 million in the first quarter of last year and 26 million of the fourth quarter of last year. The two main reasons that explain this result are the following. First, the exchange rate difference recorded a loss of almost 9 million in the first quarter of this year, as compared to a loss of almost 3 million recorded in the first quarter of last year, and an almost no variation as the previous quarter. The above is due to a 5% depreciation of the Chilean peso as compared to the dollar during the quarter, applied on a balance sheet that shows an excess of assets over liabilities stated in local currency. And the second driver is the other income registered, other income line, which registered a gain of almost 8 million in the first quarter, which includes a non-recurring income of 16 million resulting from the physical damage compensation related to the failure of Nehuenco 2, already mentioned during this call. The effect was slightly offset by a 7 million asset impairment charge from the machinery failure of Blanco, of the power, the hydropower plant, also mentioned earlier in this call. Now let's move to slide 9, please, for the net income analysis. Net income before tax reached 71 million in the quarter, which positively compares to the 19 million of the first quarter of previous year and the 38 million of the last quarter of last year. The increase in net income before tax is due to the non-recurring income of 48 million from business interruption and physical damage related to the failure of our Nehuenco 2 plant. On the income tax expense side, we have an amount of 19.6 million for the quarter, due mainly to greater profits before taxes and to a lesser extent to the effect of a 5% depreciation of the Chilean peso as compared to the dollar during this quarter that affects the calculation of deferred taxes, given that both fixed assets and tax losses are stated in Chilean pesos. So in summary, the company recorded a profit of 51 million during the quarter, which positively compares against a profit of 24 million for the same quarter of last year and a 7 million profit from the fourth quarter of 2013.
Thank you, Olivia. And continuing with this conference call, please go to slide number 11 to give you an update of the status of our project. Colbún has a development plan underway that consists of increasing its installed capacity while maintaining a relevant participation in the hydro generation industry with a thermal component that allows increasing the security of its supply in a competitive manner and diversifying its generation sources. Along that line, we are currently developing the hydro project La Mina, the coal-fired thermal project Santa Maria II, and the hydro project San Pedro. Regarding our La Mina project of 34 megawatts of installed capacity, we can inform that in April, the National Water Authority, the DGA, granted the hydro works permit. The company is evaluating the tenders for the construction of civil works and hydromechanical equipment started last year. It is important to highlight that this project qualifies as a non-conventional renewable energy mini hydropower plant. About our coal-fired Santa Maria II thermal project of 350 megawatts of installed capacity, and with its environmental permit in force, we can mention that its design was improved by incorporating technology to meet the stringent emission standards. Also, the company is analyzing the technical, environmental, social, and financial dimensions of the project to timely start its development. Finally, regarding our San Pedro hydro project of 144 megawatts of installed capacity, we can inform that we have completed the prospection analysis and the field studies collected over the last 2 years. With this information, the company is concluding the engineering stage for adjustments and improvements recommended by the experts, which are not affecting the main environmental parameters of the approved project. During the first half of the year, the company will start a process to inform these modifications to competent national and regional authorities and institutions, and the results will also be submitted to a socialization process with the community during the second half of the year before they enter the environmental evaluation system. It is also important to mention that we continue with technical, economic, and environmental pre-feasibility studies for a number of hydro projects which would use the water rights that Colbún possesses mainly in the Maule region and which would enable us to develop projects for approximately 500 megawatts of installed capacity. And for the final part of this conference call, and before moving to the Q&A session, please go to slide number 13 to talk about the latest events of our company. We would like to announce that the company extended a natural gas supply contract for one CCGT unit until June 2014 with ENAP. In the first quarter of this year, Colbún had two LNG supply contracts for its two combined cycle units. The first is a medium-term contract with Metrogas, which was signed in the third quarter of 2012, which contemplates supply for one unit of our Nehuenco complex for the period between January to April for the years 2013, 14, and 15. The second is a short-term contract with ENAP, signed in the third quarter of 2013, that contemplates supply for the other combined cycle unit of Nehuenco complex from October 2013 to March 2014. With that, we are concluding Colbún's first quarter results review, and now we will be happy to answer your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received and you'll be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. Just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone. We do have a question. It comes from the line of Mitchell Moss of Lords Abbott.
Hi, thanks for having the call. Just a couple questions. I know when I had spoken to you guys a couple months ago, you were talking about some customer renewals and under contract and moving, I guess, customers more towards a index price from a fixed price. And I just want to find out where that stands in terms of how much of your contracted revenues are still under a fixed price versus an index price or have an index price.
Okay, thank you very much for your question. I thought your name is Mikael. Okay, so you're right. We have been talking for several years about this renewal of our portfolio, and we can say that by today, all of our legacy contracts have terminated now. And that means that we move now to all new contracts that incorporate all of them some kind of indexation. Of course, we have a large part of indexation, which is CPI. Not all of them are indexed to commodities. Yes, but all of our contracts today in force are linked to our new cost structure and incorporate indexation tariffs. The last contract that terminated was on the 31st of December. So today we have a totally renewed portfolio, Michel. I don't know if that answers your question.
So you're saying that some, though, are not necessarily tied to your costs, they're tied to the broader power index, or is that more of an inflation index?
It's inflation index. A large part is inflation index because we expect on a long-term basis to supply close to 50% of our contracts with hydro. So typically, to supply contracts with hydro, the correct indexation would be CPI to protect the value of our hydro assets. Yes, and another part of our contracts on a long-term view will be supplied by coal and in a minor percentage with diesel. So we also have part of our contracts that are indexed to coal and to diesel to mimic our expected average supply matrix.
And then just on the hydro in 2014, how do the hydrology reservoirs look for you guys? And you know, being in the United States, I'm not sure if it's been raining at all down in Chile.
Michel, this is Sebastian. Hydro conditions for this year are still uncertain, despite the fact that several analysts have estimated the presence for El Niño, which in the southern hemisphere obviously translates into more rain. We remain expectant and believe that it's too soon to anticipate weather patterns for this year. But having said that, I can tell you that the company is prepared for the chance that El Niño could fail to materialize at the right time or expected intensity. And when I say the company is prepared, I mean, today we have the Angostura project operating commercially, and it's located in the south part of Chile, where rain patterns tend to be a little more stable. We have, as mentioned before, we have contracted gas, additional gas for 2 months for one cycle. I think we're well prepared in case El Niño doesn't come this year.
And what are usually the peak hydro months for you guys?
The peak, meaning the when
most
we expect...
What months do you get the most generation?
October, November. Yeah, I would say starting from August till November.
And you guys are still committed to the investment grade rating?
We have always been committed to investment grade rating. We were reaffirmed this March by S&P. We still carry the negative outlook. but we are certain that and we want to take that negative outlook out of our rating, hopefully during this year.
I guess if hydro doesn't turn around, though, and there's more capital structure questions, are you guys willing to go through capital, you know, changing your leverage metrics in order to maintain the investment grade rating?
Regarding capital expenditure... capital structure. Our capital structure, I would say, is very healthy if you take total liabilities over net worth. What our negative outlook was mainly driven was by the total debt to EBITDA ratio, which peaked back in 2011. Since that, we have been improving that ratio, and you can see with the published first quarter figures that ratio is now very according to an investment grade company, and we hope to maintain or improve that ratio during the coming months. So I don't see, and we have never seen a capital structure problem regarding investment grade rating.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions. If you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone. We have no further questions.
Okay, well, we appreciate you attending this conference, and as always, we are open to any questions from the investor relations team, and we hopefully will be speaking again on when we publish our second quarter figures for 2014. So have a good day and goodbye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining and have a good day.